And we return. It's Topical Currents Thursday edition. Joseph Cooper along with Bonnie Berman. Well, Bonnie, football season is underway, of course.
Mm-hmm.
The Hurricanes are off this week. The Finns are on the road against the Colts on Sunday. But still, tailgating parties and barbecue are on our menu today. Joining me now is chef, author, and syndicated columnist Linda Gastenheimer, who, by the way, is a Patriots fan.
What? Where did that come from?
Linda, I'm with you.
But I do love the Dolphins. Okay?
So do I.
Right. I don't want anybody to be upset about this.
No, I love the Dolphins.
Exactly. Okay. Football season, as you said, full swing. You know, I have friends who arrive at the game at 9 a.m. For a 1 o'clock kickoff. And they have grills and portable refrigerators and lots of food. And the parking area, to me, it's filled by then. Absolutely filled. So what's a football game without tailgating? Even if you're going to watch it at home, tailgate party is part of the game. So here to give us some really great party tips is Howard Kleinberg. He's the chef and owner of Bulldog Barbecue in North Miami. Welcome, Chef Howie.
Hello there. Thank you for having me.
He's already given us more than tips by quite a bit.
Oh my God, the food is so good. We've been gorging ourselves on it. We'll get to that in a minute. But we'd love to have you, our listeners, join in. What's your favorite tailgating food? Or do you have any questions for Chef Howie? Give us a call. That's 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN. Do we have email, Bonnie?
We do, radio@WLRN.org.
Okay, and Twitter?
Tweet at Topical Currents.
Okay, great. Also with us, of course, is our favorite wine guy, Fred Tasker. He's joining us by Skype, and you can read Fred's wine suggestions for my Dinner in Minutes column in today's Miami Herald. And also, you can read his wine column in today's Herald. Do I need to ask if we're drinking, Fred?
Well, of course we're drinking. Tailgating is great. I love tailgating. I think it's the most telling demonstration of American culture, for good or ill.
I was going to say, what are we telling them?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's go to Chef Howie. First, Chef Howie, do we have a tailgating menu at Bulldog Barbecue?
Yes, we do. We have some great stuff that if people are on their way to the game, last second, you know, kind of didn't plan ahead, that we can help them out, make sure they're covered for all their tailgating needs.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, well, as I mentioned, he filled the studio, and we're really covered for our
those
tailgating.
Those baked beans with the fried onions.
Oh, my God. And so, let's go down the list. First of all, you have some brisket here. And it's not the usual brisket. It doesn't look like the stringy, you know, the stringy brisket people have. Tell us about that.
Well, we use certified Angus beef brisket at Bulldog Barbecue exclusively. I think you have to start with great product if you want to end up with a great product. So it's important to start with great. If you're making meat, you want to start out with great meat. We treat it very simply.
Right, but what's the cut?
The cut we use is the flat. It's the point off, which is a leaner cut. Sometimes when you see a whole brisket, it has the fattier end to one side, and that's a little bit more difficult to deal with, especially if our clientele, especially in North Miami, wants a leaner cut. It makes it a little bit easier for us to handle. There's less cooking time, and you really have to know how to break that down properly.
But you've got a lot of flavor into it. And so what do you cook it in? Is that a secret?
Well, it's not a secret. It's we keep it simple. We have our basic dry rub that we use at Bulldog Barbecue, which has lots of brown sugar, kosher salt, paprika, garlic powder, onion powder, some chipotle powder. And then we get plenty of that on there, let it sit overnight, and then we cook it low and slow at about 250 degrees over cherry wood for about 6 hours.
Mm. So you cook it outside?
Yes.
And I think the secret here is that you've let it sit overnight so all those flavorings can...
Yeah, you want to let your seasonings, especially with a thick cut of meat, you know, if you're cooking something thin like a chicken breast or a burger, you don't have to season it overnight, you know, a couple minutes before you put it on the grill is fine. But with a thick cut of meat like brisket, pork butts, anything like that, even the ribs, we like to get the rub on and let it sit in and do its work for at least 24 hours.
Wow. And could you put it in your oven if you wanted?
Absolutely, but you just want to go low and slow. Put it down to 250, 225 degrees, and you know, don't do it 10 minutes before you plan on eating. You need a good 6-7 hours to get it done, and then you want to let it rest for a good 45 minutes so you don't slice into it and have all those juices run out on the counter.
How many pounds is the average brisket that you cook?
The ones we cook at the restaurant are probably about 6-7 pounds, you know, and sometimes they come in a little bigger, sometimes they come in a little smaller, but we kind of just cook them until they're done. You know, we don't really have a formula for it. We just got to keep an eye on them. And, you know, anything you're cooking, you know, you can follow recipes all day long, but you really have to cook with your eyes.
Experience.
And use, well, you have to use your all your senses, your ears, your eyes, your nose, and that'll let you know kind of when to start pulling things and moving them around.
So if I go into a market and I want to buy a brisket, meat for brisket, how do I know what to ask for? What is it called? Flat? Is that what it's called?
What we use is called the flat. It's tough. I mean, I'll tell you, the consumers have a tough shot of finding the same products that we work with. I would go to someplace like Penn Dutch Meat or someplace that's a little bit more of a specialist. Sometimes if you go to Costco, you'll see some, especially around the Jewish holidays, you'll see more options on the brisket cuts. But it's very tough to find a good cut of brisket. A lot of times they've taken all the fat cap off of it, which is a major problem because fat is flavor in barbecue. When that fat melts, that's when you're getting the real flavor and the real stuff that barbecue is made out of. So if it's already cleaned up and too lean, you're already kind of starting at a disadvantage.
Okay, so my mouth is beginning to water again and again when I was tasting that wonderful brisket. But right next to the brisket, you have pulled pork.
Pulled pork.
Oh, wow.
Delicious.
Now, tell us about how do we make pulled pork if we want to make some at home?
Pulled pork, again, it's the process in barbecue is, doesn't really change. You just cook things for a little bit longer. Pork, we like to cook for about 10 to 12 hours, and they're pork butts, which is the shoulder. And again, we rub them, we cook them slow. And then the difference is, and what you were mentioning about stringy brisket, yeah. It's very important when you're slicing meat, like brisket or anything really, that you're slicing against the grain. When you see brisket that's stringy, a lot of times people are cutting it with the grain, and you're getting these long striations of muscle that are very hard to break down. When you cut it across the grain, it's much easier and much more tender and easier for your mouth to break down. And it's when you do pulled pork, you actually do pull it, and it usually just shreds and falls apart. And again, you want to get a cut of pork. You don't have to use the shoulder. You can use a ham. You can use anything with a lot of fat. And just cook it low and slow and then pull it, and it should just fall apart on you.
So if you're having a lot of people over, you know, tailgating party at home and that kind of thing, these are great recipes because you can make them the day ahead and just rewarm them. They'll rewarm well, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Barbecue is one of those things that rewarms and holds very well.
Or you could just stand outside and bother all your neighbors with this wonderful, wonderful smell.
Oh, yeah, you'll make a lot of friends. You'll make a lot of friends.
Right. Okay, back to Joe's beans.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
Then we'll get to the ribs.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay. Mm. Well, again, my mouth's watering. Sorry. Okay,
so one of our sides that we're known for is our burnt end beans, and it's basically our version of baked beans, but we add the burnt ends from the brisket and the pork, kind of the crust and the bark, as they call it, and we put that in to enrich the beans. When we saute the bacon and the onions out in the beginning, and it really adds a nice depth of flavor. And then we garnish them with some crispy fried onions, and everybody's very happy.
Those crispy fried onions were really very, very thin cut, and you said you cook them very slowly in the fryer.
Yes, if you cook them slowly, they'll really kind of, you know, get nice and crispy. If you cook them too fast, sometimes the flour burns before the onions are really cooked through.
Okay, so ribs on the grill. Now, I had a friend who called me one time, and she asked me, how to cook ribs on the grill. The problem was it was 7 p.m. and she wanted to eat at 8. So what are your tips again here for ribs?
Well,
first of all, which ones do you buy?
We use St. Louis style ribs at the restaurant. I mean, again,
what does that mean?
That's a cut, right?
St. Louis is a cut of ribs. When people are talking about ribs, usually they're talking about baby backs or St. Louis. St. Louis is a little bit of a thicker cut. It's from a little bit lower on the animal. The baby back is up higher towards the back, as the name implies. And then as you start getting closer to the belly, down the rib, you start getting into the St. Louis cut, which has more fat, more meat, more flavor. And fat is flavor in barbecue. Again, when we originally opened, we were doing baby backs, but they have a tendency to dry out because they're a leaner cut. But if you're cooking them at home, obviously you're going to cook what you like. But we like St. Louis, and again, we rub them, and we smoke them for about 4 hours. And the last couple hours, it's important to either wrap them or put them in a pan, because when you're smoking things over hard wood and charcoal, after the first few hours, they've kind of taken on as much smoke as you want to put on them. And then it's important to kind of wrap them up and let steam kind of do the rest of the work. And that's what most competition barbecuers do.
So you're mixing charcoal with cherry wood?
Yeah, we use a hardwood charcoal, lump charcoal, which is for temperature, and cherry wood is for the flavor.
Okay, so but if many people, including myself, have a gas grill.
Yes.
And so you could put the Cherrywood smoker into the gas grill.
What you can do is they sell these wood chip boxes that you mm-hmm. put on top of your grill. And what, you know, if you're going to grill on a grill like that, ribs, what you would do is an offset heat. So you do high heat to one side, and then you put the ribs to the opposite side so they can still cook at a low temperature. And then you put the wood chip box with, you know, your flavored cherry chips and whatever else you want to put in there. I mean, you could put lavender, thyme. People do it with rice. People do it with cinnamon sticks. Whatever flavors you want to impart into the meat, you put in that wood chip box over the high flame, and that'll get you some smoke in your meat.
Wow, sounds good to me. But your ribs now are not big, thick, fatty ribs. They're thin, and so does the fat cook off? Or
well, ideally, you don't want it something that's got too much fat on it. If you're getting a cut of meat, you want to kind of make a judgment, and it takes a little bit of experience to know. You want to leave some fat, but not too much fat. If you leave too much fat, it doesn't break down through the cooking process, and it becomes just a fatty, you know, it's just not pleasant. So it's important to pick your ribs properly.
So, Fred, I'm so sorry that you're not here eating with us.
I was just thinking that.
We have cornbread, too, Fred.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I had the cornbread. It's good.
And the coleslaw?
I just had the cornbread, but it was good.
And so what did I leave out? Did I leave anything out?
Oh, yes. There was macaroni, I believe.
Oh, the mac and cheese. Oh, yes. What's your secret there? Will you give it to us?
I will give it to you, although I'm a little embarrassed to say. Our secret is canned processed cheese product, like Cheese Whiz. It gives a nice base of color that I really feel like people want that kind of neon orange
or
feel.
Even Velveeta or something?
Yeah, kind of similar to that, but then we also finish it with fresh cheeses. So the base is kind of that, you know, neon orange that you're used to from seeing a Velveeta or a Kraft, and then we finish it up with the fresh cheeses and heavy cream at the end.
Oh, you've got about the heavy cream at the end.
Oh, you got to have the heavy cream.
We like that, yeah.
So now if we didn't want to make this all at home, we could call up the restaurant and have it ready for us?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what we're there
how,
for.
How far do you deliver?
He's in Michigan.
Not to Michigan. Oh, not to Michigan.
Do you deliver?
We work with a delivery service locally called Dial for Delivery. And if you call them, you'll see all the our menu on their website, and you can call and order through them.
And where are you located?
We're on 154th and Biscayne Boulevard in North Miami.
All right. Well, I think we have to take a short break here.
Why not?
Right. We'll take a short break. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. We're talking about tailgate parties, if you couldn't tell, with Bulldog Barbecue chef owner Howard Kleinberg. And we'll take a short break, and we'll be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and we're talking with Bulldog Barbecue chef owner Howard Kleinberg. He's been giving us tailgating tips, but he's been feeding us with the most delicious
indeed.
Brisket and pulled pork and mac and cheese and ribs and
slaw and cornbread.
Did I forget the beans?
Yeah.
With the fried onions on top? Oh, my God. Wonderful.
Well, you guys are really rubbing it in, you know.
That's very apt. Anyway, let's go to dinner in minutes. It's dinner in minutes time. And this one is one that you could use for a quick and easy tailgate recipe or for any night. It's grilled turkey sausage with a tomato, onion, and pepper topping and a quick coleslaw. And it's a change from the traditional hot dogs. And you can buy, and yes, Joe, you can use pork sausage as well. I knew you were going to ask that.
I would recommend that.
Well, if it's turkey, do you have some gravy for Joe?
Okay, so here you're going to do is you're going to saute your onions and your tomatoes and your peppers, the bell peppers, for about 5 minutes, slice them up, and you can do that a day ahead and just rewarm them. And then you can put the sausages on the grill, toast your hot dog buns on the grill, or you can put them on a stovetop grill if you don't have access to a grill. And then you serve them with the vegetables on top of the hot dog. And I like to make my own coleslaw, and it's really easy these days because you can buy the shredded cabbage already shredded in a bag, and some of them even come with the shredded carrots. So what I do is I mix some mayonnaise, some vinegar, some mustard, and I was just a little touch of sugar to just take some of that acid away. Mix that all together, slice some onion and put that in, mix it with the cabbage, and you can even make that a day ahead and let it marinate. Or if you really don't have time and you're in a hurry, you can buy deli coleslaw. And what I do is I drain the coleslaw because some of it's got a lot of sauce on it. And then I add some salsa to it.
So you soup it up a little bit.
Soup it up. That's right. And it's really good. And that complete recipe and a photo It's at dinnerinminutes.com. And also, if you like fresh seafood, if you like mussels, I've got a recipe in today's Miami Herald. It's mussels in a garlic tomato sauce. And please follow me on Twitter. That's at L. Gassenheimer. Fred Tasker, what are we drinking?
Well, as you probably remember, in past years when tailgating season arrived, I've always spent the time railing against selling out to the TV ads and drinking wimpy light beer with a macho football setting. And I still do, but I also believe in the patriotic all-American football fans should have the freedom to drink anything that's good. And that means not just wine, but also beer, although it should be good beer, and even the country's latest craze, which is hard cider.
Oh, and this is the season for it.
Absolutely. Mm. First, beer. Bratwurst and beer, it just sounds right. It's a natural combination. You even simmer the brats in the beer, so before you pop them on the grill for those mm-hmm. grill marks. And a good beer for that would be the Sam Adams Tasman Red Ale. There's no wimpiness to this beer. It's full-bodied and rich with flavors of grapefruit and a bitter finish of hops, and it's about $9 a six-pack. This is a real beer.
Okay, that goes with your brats?
That goes with your brats.
All right.
Or, I suppose, with your turkey hot dogs.
Thank you.
Fred, when did this cider craze start?
Well, it was actually very popular before Prohibition, and it kind of died out. But over the past 5 years, it's just been exploding all over the country. It's really up here in Michigan. They're growing lots of new apples to make cider with. It's a big fad going on.
Oh wow!
Of course, if you have steak or cheeseburger or such, a bold red wine is good. Or that would go well with Howie's brisket too. That sounds pretty good.
But nothing very expensive though.
Wouldn't have to be, no. You could try a Zinfandel. At a tailgating party, you're not going to pay a lot of attention. You're not going to sip and sniff and all that kind of thing. You're just going to drink it. So I would get a Zinfandel from the Barefoot Winery, which is full-bodied and rich and spicy with raspberry flavors. Good match for beef, and it's only $7 a bottle, so you can't beat that. Finally, if you do want to be cutting edge, you can serve the latest thing, which is hard cider. Oh, you'll be so cool if you serve hard cider. The Angry Orchard people have one that they call Sinful Apple. That's sinful spelled C-I-N-N-F-U-L, as in cinnamon, which is added to the brew. And it comes out kind of sweet, tart, and spicy, and so it's good with barbecued ribs.
So does it taste like a baked apple?
Yeah, kind of does, actually.
And what temperature do you serve that at?
You can serve it cool to cold. You can put it, just throw it in the ice pack with your beer. That'll be fine. Or that mac and cheese would go very well with this. These ciders are a little more expensive. They're probably about $15 per six-pack. So if you try any of these hearty drinks, you won't be left with the wimpy beer drinker's lament that we also often see in TV ads that I can't taste my light beer.
Or no Old Milwaukee.
No Old Milwaukee. No 55-calorie beer.
Howie, what do most people drink with the barbecues in your restaurant?
Definitely beers. Craft beers are huge right now. As Fred was saying, ciders are great, you know, especially going into the fall. You know, things with high alcohol content, things that are dark and have some bitterness to them are great to cut the richness of barbecue. So people are really leaning towards those beers while they're eating barbecued items.
And how about wine?
We sell wine at Bulldog Barbecue. Definitely the reds pair well for the heartier dishes. And then if you're having something like barbecue chicken, you might want to go with a white wine. I'm more of a beer person myself. But, you know, whatever makes you happy, we're all for it.
Where did the name Bulldog come from?
Well, a few years back when I was on a TV show called Top Chef and I was competing on one of my fellow competitors, she said I was a bulldog. She said I was like a bulldog to compete against, and I was, you know, and it just kind of stuck.
That's a great name for a barbecue joint.
Yeah, we thought so too.
Obviously, they've been doing very well over the years. Okay, we've talked about all of this food that you've brought in, what people can do at home and tailgating and everything, but you left out something.
What's that?
Dessert.
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 How did you know, Fred?
Oh, I'm sure it has to be chocolate dessert, right?
Well,
can you,
no,
can you
not necessarily.
S'mores over a gas grill?
Absolutely. You can make s'mores over anything. You can make s'mores with a lighter if you're really inclined.
Well, tell me, what kind of desserts do you recommend for a tailgating party?
Well, I think it's important to keep it simple. I mean, obviously, you don't want to do a plated dessert or anything that needs to be cut and portioned. Cookies are great. Cupcakes are great. Things like donuts are great. I mean, you know, if you go to, if you're someplace that has a local great bakery and you can go get something that's small and easy to share. Fruit, you know, I think in South Florida, people trying to stay healthy, fruit is always good. You know, you could do fruit kebabs, grilled fruit, watermelon, things like that when it's hot out. You're tailgating at the Dolphins game. You know, and I think it's also good to do, you know, as Fred said, s'mores are great, you know, to do a take on s'mores. We have one at the restaurant that we use. You know, we use marshmallow fluff and some good chocolate and a little bit of graham cracker.
Marshmallow fluff? So how do you make a s'more with marshmallow fluff?
Does well, what we away? Do is we make a s'more pie, and what we make a graham cracker base, and when we pour bittersweet chocolate on top of that, like a ganache, you know, that we melt down with some butter and some heavy cream. We let that set up, cut it into pieces, and then we put the marshmallow fluff on top, and we brulee it with a torch.
With a torch, but yes. you didn't have it.
Wow, that is a fancy s'more.
Well, it's a restaurant style s'more, but if you didn't want to go through all that, obviously, if you're grilling your burgers and you have the heat coming off of your charcoal, you can toast some marshmallows on there.
Right, or if you didn't have a torch, you could maybe put that underneath a broiler for a few minutes.
Absolutely.
Right. That sounds good.
You know, I've noticed that grilling fruit is getting very popular. People grill everything from pineapples to peaches. I've even seen watermelon.
Sure. When you grill fruits, it brings out the natural sugars, and it makes them, it really intensifies the flavors and makes them very great.
All right. And you were just on a television show.
Yes, we were just on Barbecue Pitmasters on Destination America.
Wow. Big time barbecue. Well, tell us where you're located.
We're in North Miami on 154th Street and Biscayne Boulevard.
That barbecue circuit's really competitive, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's a sport unto
itself.
They're
maniacs.
Yeah.
All right. This has been a really, really tasty week. Chef Howard Kleinberg, thank you so much for joining us.
No, thank you for having me.
Thank you for bringing everything.
Oh, yeah.
My pleasure.
Delicious. And in case you missed it, his restaurant is the Bulldog Barbecue, and that's 154th and Biscayne. That's
I hope there's still some left
FIU.
Over.
Well, I don't know. I see people, you know, people seem to come out from the, people I don't know are sort of coming into the studio,
here.
Right? I don't know how much is left there, but it's really delicious, and thank you. And people can go there and order if they want and take out.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Well, next week, we'll be talking about my favorite finds from the Fancy Food Show, including the new trends you'll be finding in the stores this year.
Oh, and the new trends in bacon, I hope.
There's probably a possibility there. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join me then.